The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doleful.
And we are ready, set for 2 hours of home improvement. 7 o'clock Saturday morning, well, 7 o'clock East Coast time, and we're ready to do it. David, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good, my friend. How about you?
Everything is good. Coming live from the beach. It's quiet in the house right now, but by an hour from now, we should just pretend like we are on location, I don't know, at a trade show, in a Home Depot store, at a riot. I don't know. We'll just see what happens. It's quiet at the moment. Only my daughter's up to start her 25-mile run or whatever she does every morning. David, it's we're getting close to Father's Day. So this is my first time doing a radio show, so you got to kind of hang with me. Folks, if you would like to ask a question, we are at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Call us. We'll talk about what's important to you. This week, David, I thought we would take advantage of Father's Day coming up. What are we, 2 weeks out on that? It's not this coming weekend. It's the 19th.
It's 19th this year.
Okay. Okay, so we're, I don't know, whatever that is, 15 days out or 18 days out, whatever that is. I don't know. Math is not my strong suit. I thought we would take advantage of it. And we always share at Christmas and Father's Day tool ideas. And we'll talk about that. And if you got questions about, hey, what about this tool? What about that tool? We're happy, you know, to talk about that. But I thought we would take advantage and really do the thing, do it upright, if you will, and talk about, all right, what if you wanted to like help dad get set up, or if you're a dad and you're making a list of things that you want for Father's Day, what about actually doing up a shop, like converting a garage, or I thought maybe even let's go all the way back to what if we said we got nothing. And we want to put something up, a shed, a shop, a garage, whatever. What do you think? Just go all the way and talk about how do you set it up? What should be in it?
Mm-hmm. What do you do with all the stuff that's already there?
Boom. That's it. I mean, that was a huge thing for Barb and me when we have a two-story garage, basically, because of the way the lot lies, right? So you come in, and there's almost a 16. It might be a 16-foot ceiling in there. So we had a huge advantage, but we took advantage of the space overhead, right? So what do you do with the space that's in there? What do you do if you want the cars to be in there? Sometimes the cars are there. Sometimes the cars aren't there. Can you, you pull them out? So I don't know. There's a million things, but it's even more, I don't say more complex, but there's more to consider, right? Because then you get out in the garage and you're ready to go work on something. It's like, okay, I got sawhorses and a couple old 2x4s. That's probably not going to be good for the larger project that I want to do. And then you're like, well, okay, I could run the extension cord from the outlet by the kitchen sink through the door to run a tool. That's probably not going to work. Okay, I got all the power that I need, and I can't see squat. It's dark out here. How do you light it? Then you get busy on your project, and the spouse, because this could be, I mean, we're saying Father's Day, but, you know, it could be, as is the case in many families, that the woman is actually the one who likes doing that stuff. So I'll just say spouse shows up at the door that you've got cracked open to run the extension cord from the kitchen out to the garage and says, honey, it's kind of dusty in the kitchen. What are you doing? So we'll talk about dust control. What am I forgetting? You have an awesome shop, right?
I do.
We really can't talk about your that's like going to the high school and saying we're going to talk about the Olympics, you know, with the kid who doesn't like
the gym class. It's not all that, but it is it's sufficient for what I do, and mainly the space. You know, that's what I needed. I have so many different tools that I've acquired over the years, and some of them duplicated because I'll go across town thinking that I have everything I need. I don't have it, and you have to weigh out, do I go buy another one or do I go back to the shop? So yeah, depending on the time
so
of
that's
the day,
what happens,
right?
Yeah, that's what happens here when we go from Atlanta to North Carolina to work on a project. In fact, I just bought a new framing nailer because Ryan was like, hey, I'm gonna, you know, nail the fence things up, and I'm like, yeah, you can't use this thing I've got. We'll get a really good one. So that was my excuse for that. But anyway, so I think we're going to be coming up on a break, so I don't want to linger. But I'd love, David, we'll just start literally from the ground up and talk about what goes into this and how maybe a little bit of how you planned your shop. I know we've had different callers talk about, you know, questions about running power. And yeah, I know what I forgot. Mm-hmm. What do you do about climate control? Because what if you want to do you know, staining or polyurethane or painting or spray painting, all those things where, you know, the dead of winter or the dead of summer, the climate's not right. Right. So lots of things to consider. We'll talk about all those things. We'll talk about what's important to you. If you have a question, call us at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, or go to askjohnanddave.com, click on the questions button and send us a note that way. No matter what you do, get ready for two more hours of home improvement. We'll take a little break and we'll be back after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. That's the number. Give us a call ready to talk about what's important for you for home improvement, what projects you might have going on right now. We're going to tackle setting up a shop. We're going to do it. We're going to pretend like money's not an object. Well, no, we're never going to do that. We're going to talk, though, about the very basics from hey, I've got no space at all, or I've got a garage and what have you. So rather than yammer on about what we're going to do, let's just do it. So, David, let me ask this question. Because let's just say you don't have a garage and you have a space where you'd like to put a shop, and we've seen everything legitimate. This isn't, I'm not being critical or facetious when I say this. We've seen everything from a shed that's been a functional shop, so to speak, to elaborate, you know, outbuildings and so on. So let's just say that you have nothing for a minute. We'll spend most of our time talking about, you know, existing structures, but let's say you've got nothing. And so imagine your lot. When you were ready to build your house, I mean, you had to do the house thing and then you knew there was going to be a shop. How did you think about placement on the lot? Was where it sat physically on the property important? And then also touch base. I mean, I don't want to be like we're, you know, legal land development experts, but permitting and stuff like that. Can walk through that just a little bit, would you?
Okay. Well, the position of my shop was based on a few things. One, looking for the high part of the lot to keep it off of the ground. I think that's something you always have to think about because, you know, if you were to build a small building or a shed and if you place it in the low portion of the yard every time it's raining, you might want to go out there and work in the shop while it's raining, but you gotta wade through where all the water's going. So you know, look at that, you know, and then some people may want to look at shade. If there's more shade in a portion of a yard, you know, you might want to put it underneath those trees to help cool it or keep it cooler. So something to think about with that. Second of all, locating it someplace where it's easy to get electricity to, easier. It's never easy. My shop, we have above ground power behind us, which is where the main line is. It's at the back of the lots. It's an older neighborhood, so it's still above ground. A lot of people would be near a transformer. So those big green boxes, if you're going to have your own service on the building, which is what I did with the shop. And it was
Let me ask a question. I'm sorry. When you say that, does that mean you have a meter head on the building?
I do. I have a separate meter on that building.
Okay.
That was actually cheaper for me to do that because I was close to the transformer to bring power to it. Because the second building, they charge you by the foot to go underground. So they brought the power lines down the pole in a conduit underneath the ground and to the shop. Well, it only cost me $100 or $150 because of the distance. That's how close I was to the transformer versus if I would have done it myself, I would have had to put a 400 amp service on the house, which is double what most people would have. Right. Then I would have had, they would have run a wire by my shop to the house. And then I would have went from the house back to the shop. It just didn't make sense. So
got it.
I chose to go that route. And then
is there another reason to do it that way? Like besides just the distance?
Well, it's if you don't have enough space in the house, depending on what you're going to put out there, if you just need convenience outlets and you can run a piece of number 10 wire on a 30 amp service, that's all you need, then that's an inexpensive way to go. I had a little bit more than that going on out there. So, you know, you said it earlier, John, is if you want to heat and cool. So if you decided you wanted to put a mini split, or a small heating and air conditioning system in that building, chances are you're going to want to, it still doesn't take that much power. So I really shouldn't say that, but you would have to almost set a panel. So you would take a bigger wire to that shed, set a panel, and then you would have enough power there to do mostly what you want to do. But if you start putting welders in there or, equipment that's going to pull a lot more energy at one time, then, hey, you have to think about that.
That makes sense. So, that makes good sense. Okay.
And then
I interrupted you.
That's okay. And then the last thing was the driveway, because my shop has a garage door. So I wanted to be able to connect it to the existing driveway without having to pour more concrete than I already have. And you got to see it the last time you're here. It was like your house. It's plenty. There's plenty of it out there.
Yeah. All right. So, so a couple things. It was just position on the lot height wise. Absent making a good decision on the position of the elevation, you could be okay. So to not wade through, as you say, all the water, you end up doing some things with drainage and stuff like that, and you're trying to avoid that. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's that. And you poured a pad, a formal pad, and you didn't do anything different from like a traditional garage pad as far as like 4-inch thickness. You didn't like do anything for, because you don't have any super heavy equipment or anything out there, do you?
No, and we actually poured a footing, and we laid brick, and then backfilled, and then put the concrete up higher. But what it allowed me inside was 2-foot masonry walls, so that if I wanted to go in there for some reason and wash it out, or it got wet, it wouldn't matter. But what it did allow me to do, John, was to buy 8-foot studs and build 8-foot walls on top of a 2-foot brick stem wall, and now I have 10-foot ceilings.
Got it. And you did it at a time when, like, it was cheaper to buy, you know, a barrel of oil, ship it across the ocean, than to buy a 2x4.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Got it. That makes sense. All right. So, so that's that. What about somebody that wants to say, hey, I'm going to go to like Home Depot or go to one of these places where they have sheds and they'll build a shed on your property and do that. I mean, that's an acceptable shop too, is it?
Oh yeah, I mean, especially if it's just, you know, we would call it a weekend warrior, or you know, if you're not planning on filling it up full of heavy duty equipment, and even if you were, you could just build it bigger. They're still strong and substantial. I mean, once you get to a certain size, it has to be permitted anyway. So, and each per, you know, you need to check it depending on where you live with the building standards, and that would be the first thing that you should do. A couple of things you probably should do, John, right? Is check with the homeowners association if you have one,
right?
What do we call them? No, we won't go into that. And then check with. I know. I just haven't seen one yet. But then call the county, and you would check with zoning, and then also for compliance, where the building needs to be positioned and how it needs to be anchored, and those types of things.
Okay. All right. So I don't want to dwell hours and hours on you know, the structure itself, because I think in most cases people are not going to, well, I don't know, I shouldn't say that. I think as a general rule, what we're talking about is folks are going to consider a garage space or a basement space. Hadn't spoken about that, right? So if you have an unfinished basement, then the first thing you want to put in is an entertainment area, I think, just because that keeps everybody in the family happy. But then the second thing should be your shop, right? So it doesn't have to be, I guess I should have clarified that, it doesn't have to be outside of the structure, right? It can be an attached garage, or it can be in the basement.
Absolutely.
All right. I want to talk about just making room, whether it's in the basement or in the garage. You said it immediately when we talked about that, you said, like, and what are you going to do with the stuff that's already occupying that space? We don't have time to tackle that before the break, so we'll go ahead and take our break. But I would like to talk about some really cool ways, because they could be some awesome Father's Day gifts or gift ideas as well, how you make room to have your space. So stay tuned. The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave will come right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Lots of lines open this morning. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Before we dig in on the topic of the day, let's talk about our Home Depot product of the week. And I'm going to the Ryobi Link Modular Storage System. I know I'm kind of obsessed with the Father's Day thing. I just think it's a cool time. I love the way Ryobi thinks about things in general. They make all the stuff work together. And this particular product, this is, I can give you a specific example. Just the Link Medium Toolbox, right? It's just a basic box, got a handle, a locking, but it fits together with others in the systems almost like Legos. And it's like $50, $54. And then there's a whole series of things. You can get a part that wheels around. You can get a small one that has little compartments for your small nuts and bolts. Truthfully, there's a version of this for just about any kind of tool. So that's our Home Depot product of the week. We'll start with the medium size. Look for the Link Modular Storage System online or in the stores. I think it's an awesome product. Then we were talking, and we've got lines open. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. David, we were talking about a shop and, you know, finding, you know, picking a spot on your property if you don't have a place. But most often we're probably talking about either converting some of a garage or all of a garage or some of a basement, probably not all of a basement, depending on the size of the basement, I guess, into a working shop area. And when we say working, I guess that can be anything from just a place to do projects and fix things, or to places where you can build furniture and so on. Probably more in the home improvement arena than in the automotive, only because I think, I don't know, David, I don't want to shortsuit your expertise, but mine tends to be more in the home improvement piece than in the automotive. There was a day when I could open up the hood on my F-100 and stand in the engine compartment and take out and put back anything anymore, you look in there and you feel like a monkey doing a math problem. It's,
yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I still do some stuff. So, you know, it just depends.
My son-in-law will do that. He'll monkey with that stuff. I am too lazy and too tired anymore. Somebody else's problem.
Well, I'm getting there.
So let's talk about making room. Because that's the first thing you said. You're like, well, if you're going to have a shop, what are you going to do with everything that's already in the space that is to be your shop? So let's start with the garage. You and I both took advantage of overhead space, right? When mm-hmm. Talk about that. Like what? There's systems out there. I forget the name. While you're talking, I'm going to look up the name of it because I can't remember. But
yeah, they have the wire shelves that you can hang from the ceiling, which is probably the simplest thing to hang and install in the shop and then use a ladder. I mean, there's some stuff now, John, that's on pulley systems. Electric that you can lower it down to the ground. Now that's the ultimate storage. Yeah. So Christmas decorations, stuff like that, things that you don't need to get to all the time. You know, it's ideally to take advantage of the height of the ceiling and lift it up. Even if you have just a 10-foot ceiling, you could take advantage of that 2 feet because you really only need 8 feet and really less than that a lot of times. So I think it's the way to roll is take advantage of that. Nobody's using that space anyway. So
no, I agree. And then I think you do have to consider, I mean, if you're into the electric, you know, pulleys and so on and so forth, that's great. But I think the piece to think about is like, how are you going to get up there? Make sure in my case, like I picked up an extra 8-foot fiberglass ladder just because now it's there,
right?
And up you go and down you go. It's easy to access. You want to be safe.
Yeah, I think so. I think being safe and then depending on how often you need to get the things down that you're storing or get to them. And are you capable of climbing a ladder? Do you feel safe? It's one thing to climb a ladder. It's another thing to climb a ladder when you got a big bin full of Christmas decorations trying to get down.
Right.
So
putting it up or pulling it down.
Certainly something to think about. Platform ladder is probably a good idea if you can get your hands on one of those. But I think that's the first thing is to take advantage of that type of storage. And then, you know, you talked about lighting. So I think lighting and electrical, you have to put some thought into that because most garages only have one or two outlets. And one of the outlets is usually on the ceiling for the door opener. So it's not of much use up there.
No.
So I think you plan that, right?
Yep, you do. And we'll talk about that because there's actually some easy ways to fix up lighting and even to bring some power down if you have to, if you're not going to run big, big stuff. But we're going to be right up against a break here. So we'll go ahead. We'll take that. We'll take our break. Folks, we're talking about making a shop. We kind of got Father's Day in mind as we're talking about it. But just picking spot, planning. We're going to talk about tools and workbenches and stuff like that. But most importantly, we want to talk about what's important to you. So 704-570-1110 is the way to do that. 704-570-1110. And give us a call and we'll talk about more home improvement when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. We'll talk home improvement. David and I are planning your ultimate shop, more or less. We talked about just taking advantage of overhead space in the garage. Sometimes that'll be more space than other times. I think we spoke about my scenario where we have literally almost a two-story garage, and so super easy. I will tell you, is looking at the Easy Store, and I'm going to get the name wrong, but it's going just about anywhere, just for overhead garage storage, and you'll find it. You can get it. It's on HomeDepot.com. I think that's where I ordered mine. Just one thing, you do have to plan and understand where the framing members, that so that would be if you have a bonus room above the garage, that would be, you know, where the floor joists for the bonus room are, or the ceiling joists. You do have to know and kind of map out where the framing members are. It does affect the placement of the shelves and the size of the shelves that you order. You want to know that before you go out and order the shelves. The second thing is just, I'm not going to get deep into the installation pieces of it, but again, you have to be careful, because if you don't plan well with the framing, the structural that's there to support this, because you don't put this up with, you know, easy anchors. It's got to get mounted to the framing members of the house. You can get everything to fit, but you've got to connect like little pieces that come down to support the shelves. And those have to be, as you can imagine, inside. You know, you're going to have two at least lag bolts into the framing member. You got to make sure that your down pieces fall between anchors, right? I've seen some stuff where it gets once it's close to an anchor, but the other side of it is not anchored, and then you put a little weight in there and the whole thing bends, right? So that's probably me just being a little OCD, but I think, well, it's more than that, because it doesn't work if you don't do it right. But people can't see my hand, so it's going to be hard to understand what I just said. I don't know.
Well, one of the things you could do, John, with that, so is you still have to find the joists, the ceiling joist, which would either be the floor joist to a bonus room or into an attic. If it's an attic over top, it makes it a little bit easier, because you could actually poke a little hole and stick a wire through it, then go up and find it, and that's your reference point to find the joist. But since you most of the time you only have an inch and a half. And then if you have I-joist up there, they're a little bit wider. But what we do is we'll take a 2x6 and lay it flat on the ceiling, and we'll catch several joists, and then we'll space those out through the width of the actual frame that's going to hang off of it, and then put another one. And then that allows you to move it. That gives you some, a little bit of wiggle room, but it also distributes the weight a little bit better.
That's awesome. So same principle as we talk about when we're putting stuff on the wall, and you really need to have a rock solid anchor, but it's between studs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great, great point. And I like the idea of a 2x6, because the other challenge is like, how do you know, what's your distance off the wall when you're into a corner and so on, and having instead of an inch and a half to mess with, to have 5.5 inches, that's a huge difference.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. Like, and then if you're concerned about it, you know, if it bothers you like it would me, I would paint
them
the same color as the ceiling, whatever. and then it disappears.
Right.
So it's not an eyesore.
And before you don't do that, check with your spouse and have an informed opinion, because it's a lot easier to paint them on the ground. Just saying.
Right.
All right. Yep. No, that's good. That's legit. That's a great point. All right. So we're talking about taking advantage of that thing that I think is important. And this will sound like a self-serving comment. It just came to my head. I don't intend it to be that at all. But we just spoke about a Home Depot product of the week and the Ryobi, Link modular storage systems. So it's one thing to talk about where you're going to put everything that's in the garage or the space now. It's another thing to say, okay, I've opened up this amount of room, but I can't just be spreading tools and everything all over the place. So there's again, planning is like super, super important, because there's things and systems and solutions that help you store tools and parts and pieces and so on, to have easy access and still maximize space. And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, because one of the things we did want to talk about, David, was power. So
yes.
Because you brought up lighting, and then we said, hey, we got to go to a break, and then we came back and went somewhere else, because I've only had a couple cups of coffee. But so let's talk about power for a minute. Do you want to start just with lighting, or do you want to just say to get power in there
and figure out
lighting?
I think it kind of goes hand in hand. Obviously, you want to get your storage done, as we talked about, so that you can place the lighting around the storage, because obviously, if you put it above the storage, you're not going to have any use of it. So, so I think now you have the ceiling, you know exactly where you could place lights. And of course, if you're just putting one workbench, then that makes it pretty simple on both accounts, lighting and electricity. So once that's done, I mean, I'm kind of a big planner when it comes to that stuff. I tend to measure and scale things out and draw it up. Usually I can see it in my head, but usually for a customer, right? You would want to draw it out. So just to sketch it out, just to kind of have a plan is a good thing. And then from there, when you know where the workbench or is going to be the main area that you're going to be working on, that's where you would want to get your lighting and then a way to control it, whether it be from a remote control or if you can put a switch in for it so that it's on its own. And then again, your electrical, right? So, and I know you were going to talk about simpler ways for electricity to have convenience outlets.
Yeah. So I think there's the idea of sketching it out, planning it out, maybe having an electrician look at what you're going to do or get some good advice. There's a Easy Track, I think, is the name of it. It's the wire ducts, right? The wire.
Yeah,
track,
absolutely.
Right? You can. Mm-hmm. That's a really easy way. Seen it done inside the house residentially. It's particularly big, like in Florida and places where you've got masonry walls, and it's not as easy, you know, to punch a hole, run something, and so on. But in a garage or a basement, I think it's fine, and you can get it in several different colors, but that allows you to come off of an electric box that exists in the ceiling. Because David, you spoke about the only outlet in the ceiling might be the one for the garage door opener, right? So it allows you to come out of that electric box for the garage door opener and move a light fixture wherever it needs to be. In our garage, there's like a triple 2x10, which is the beam that supports the floor joist for the bonus room above, right? So when they put lighting in the garage, it was all one side of that beam. And when I got down on the floor working, I was in a shadow in half of the garage, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a matter of moving lighting over the other side of the beam as well, so that I had lighting in both places. But I think that is an acceptable solution. It's also an acceptable solution to bring an outlet down the wall. Caution, this is where I say, you know, have an informed partner or an electrician. I mean, it's great to pull that, you know, power down the wall for an outlet. But remember, you're pulling, you know, basically 110 down to 110. This is not going to power, you know, 25 different tools and all that stuff. That cannot be
at the same time
your power substation, so to speak. Right. It's where you, and then you plug in, you know, 1,000 extension cords into one of the, you know, power strips or something like that. I mean, certainly there's safe ways to do that, but I think, that's an easy solution. And, I'll just leave it at that. That's an easy solution. What about though, David, when you're going to run some serious power tools, would you counsel people to consider like 220 lines, or is that just for like super serious?
Well, it depends on what...
Never mind, we got 50 seconds left to do this. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. No, that's no worries. But we could talk about that when we come back.
Yeah. So. Yeah, let's come after the break. Folks, look, we're going on because we love planning. and spending your money. But there's a lot of cool stuff to do, and we want to talk about it. We also want to answer questions that are important to you at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. You can also go to AskJohnAndDave.com, click on the questions button, and send us a note. That way we can get into a little bit more detail. Do tell us where you live. We don't need your address, but it helps us if you're in a different climate to make informed, give you informed responses as well. So don't go away. Grab a cup of coffee. The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave is coming right back.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back, everybody. This is hour number two of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we're taking calls this morning. Actually, not many so far. People like chilling. Give us a call. We'll talk. I mean, we're kind of geeking out a little bit on, you know, our shop.
Big vacation week.
It is. I mean, that's where I am, right? So I'm just silly enough to be on the phone. But yeah, give us a call, 704-570-1110. We'll talk if you want. Otherwise, we're just going to keep going down this path. I dug up actually some tips of the week, David. One of them is kind of cool, but let's don't go there yet till we tackle a couple of things that we've already been working on. So we were talking about, hey, what about is standard, 110, 125. What was the name of that movie? That was a funny movie. Mr. Mom. Sorry for that moment. ADD moment brought to you by Caffeine Deficient John. What about 220 in a garage to power, you know, bigger stuff? Is that really,
well, I think
not practical.
It is. If you have appliances, or equipment that runs off 220, like my table saw, I converted it to 220 because the motor on it was capable of that. And, it just runs better. You know, I can cut 4x4s and rip them if there's a if I need to. I don't do that very often, but and then sometimes a compressor would require 220. And then if you're going to be welding, if you're doing a metal shop, maybe it's not wood, maybe it's metal, you may need a 220 outlet. Although a lot of the little MIG welders now will run off of 110 volts, but it probably needs to be a dedicated outlet, and it's going to probably need a full 20 amps. So, you know, you have to determine that, from what are you going to do in there? What kind of equipment do you have? And, you know, what kind of equipment are you going to purchase? You know, if you have an oversized compressor, you're probably going to need for it to be on its own circuit. And that's if you're doing some pretty serious, you need some pretty serious air. So if you're doing mechanic work, or, if you're running a bunch of nailers or something like that, then you may want to have something that's a little larger. So 220 may be in store, but that's what we were talking about earlier, John, was the planning stage.
Right.
If you know that you're going to do those kinds of things, then you want to make sure you draw those in and place them, have measurements and all of that.
Okay. So kind of, I think very honestly, we can almost take that off the table for most folks, right? If you're doing that, you're already down the path of planning, and you know what tools you have, well, what's going in there.
That was my thoughts. And if you're going to incorporate those types of tools, you don't need us to tell you what to do, because you're already in there. This is really about kind of a hobby shop in the garage. And I like the plug mold idea. And I just wanted to touch base on that again, because, you know, with the LED lighting now, you can buy LED lights that have a cord on them. The lights hang from chain, so you can lower them down a little bit. But you can run the plug mold that you were talking about on the ceiling, fairly simple. And from that, you can surface mount outlets all over the ceiling, and you could hang those light fixtures pretty simply. And then when you get to the walls, the same thing. You can surface mount the outlets, so you can have individual outlets, right, John? Or you can have a plug strip,
strip, exactly.
That has multiple outlets. That way you could charge your batteries. You know, you could still plug in an extension cord if you were doing something out in the middle of the floor, or if you were doing something on the bench. I think the plug strip in that area is almost a must. It's inexpensive and it gives you multiple receptacles for plugging things in at the same time, especially if it's all low amperage stuff.
Right. So while we're, quick thing, I bought one of these just kind of on a whim. It's I think it's a Bell and Howell, I think, is a manufacturer. I believe it's called TriBurst or TrueBurst or something like that. There's another one I think called Beyond Bright. It's a screw in, so it screws into a regular socket like a light bulb, but it's got three LED heads on it that are adjustable.
Right.
And I promise you, I have a little storage room kind of in the back of the basement, and I put a bright, just a regular LED bulb in there, like 100 watts or whatever it was. And it was fine, but you know, you got all the junk in there and you try, it's dim. I bought one of these things. I tell you, like, I moved stuff around in that room for about 30 minutes and I came out with a suntan. It's
yeah,
like,
they're bright.
Awesome.
I've seen them. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. $29.
So if you have the fixtures available, a keyless fixture in the ceiling,
exactly,
you can use that type of light. And if you don't, there's other options. And of course you can always, you know, if you have questions about that, you can always send them to the website, askjohnanddave.com, hit the questions button and we can and help walk you through that. So I guess next, we kind of beat that subject to death, but I guess next we would go to wall storage.
Before we do that though, we got to take a break, but could we just talk for a second when we come back just about whether it's smart to have a sub panel to get power in there, and then we'll go to like
and the
wall storage
why.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. And then we'll do, because I want to talk about workbenches. I want to talk about dust control. There's a million things. And I don't even know if we're going to get to them all. But folks, we have to take a little break here. We're going to do that. Call us at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. We'll talk home improvement when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We are taking calls at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Right now, we're going to talk to Carrie. Good morning, Carrie. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Good. Good morning. I'm doing fine. How are you?
Excellent. How can we help?
So I've got a two-car garage, and all it has for lighting is a fluorescent, a four-foot fluorescent bulb on the ceiling.
And yeah.
Do they make an LED to go in there?
Oh, yeah.
Or do I need to replace the entire fixture?
Well, they actually make a bulb. So I don't know, John, if you've seen them, but you go up, you take the ballast out, and then you directly wire the sockets to the 110 volts, that the 110, 120 volts that's coming through into the box, and then or into the light fixture. You put the cover back on and then you put the bulbs in. Like they look like a standard fluorescent bulb, but they're a LED bulb. And so you just convert the fixture over. You don't have to change it or take it down. I think they're like $20. They used to be about $20 for two bulbs.
Okay, well, that's encouraging, because the lighting in there is horrible. Fluorescent.
Yeah.
You know, you used to love fluorescent lights until LED came along, and now
right.
I don't know how we survived without them.
Well, we loved horses till cars came along, and we loved Model Ts till something better came along. You know? So,
it is. But that's what I've done for several customers, and there's good directions in there, and you just pop out the take out the old ballast and the old sockets, and then put the new ones in, wire them up, and you're good to go.
Right.
And then here's, here's what I think, Carrie. This is my prediction. I don't know how big your garage is, but you're gonna make that change, and you're gonna be like, holy cow, this is unbelievable. You're gonna want to add one more of those things
at least
in your garage.
Yeah.
And then that's what we're talking about, the plug mold or wire mold, just to move power across the ceiling and screw another one. They're super light. Doesn't have to be the same type. It can just be an LED fixture. David was talking about them earlier. I put a couple in a shop area in the basement. They are like awesome. Super light, super easy to wire. They sip electricity and they blow out the lumens. It's awesome.
That's great. All right. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks for the call, Carrie. All right. We're sending Carrie off to lighten things up. You can light a candle or curse the darkness. Don't light a candle. Put an LED fixture in. All right. David, we were talking about real quick. I wanted to sneak in a conversation about a sub panel, because sometimes I think that just is easier to move power from a sub panel to different places in a room or an out a more remote area. And it's easier to keep track of, like, should a circuit pop? Like, A, it's closer, and then B, it's you're setting up a sub panel in a comp, like in a logical sense. So like, okay, these are my outlets. This is the overhead lighting. What do you think? Is that overkill?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons to have a sub panel. One is that if you need to add a circuit to your existing panel and there's no space left, then you may need a sub panel. Now, whether you put that sub panel in the garage, so if your panel maybe is outside or in a utility room somewhere, and maybe you want to have the breakers for the garage right there in the garage, then a sub panel's is definitely a good way to go. And if you need it, and sometimes it's cheaper to do that than it is to run multiple conduits or circuits from the existing panel back to the garage. So you run the one circuit, and then you mount that panel, and then you could come out of that panel and put multiple outlets. But that's if you're doing a serious shop, then again, you probably don't need us to tell you what to do. But
yeah. I was going to say the guys who are doing this with 220 and all this stuff, they're not listening to Home Improvement with John and Dave to figure out what's
some
up.
Of them are, but they
they're listening, but they kind of got a pretty good idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they call with great feedback and information, so I shouldn't make light of it.
Right. So I mean, sub panel's a good idea if you're really out of electricity. And then I think we probably haven't said this, and we do need to mention it. Remember, anything in that garage has to be all your outlets have to be GFI protected. So either a breaker, or you have to, the wire goes directly to a GFI outlet and then a receptacle. And then from that receptacle is down line. Everything is protected from that one circuit. So because you're at grade level in a garage, it's potentially, there could be water in there, or whatever, dripping off of a car, whatever. So just know that to be within code. And then, I think the other thing, John, that we probably should just throw out there, a lot of times there's an outlet, a convenience outlet in the garage, and a lot of times there's only one, and more times than not, that has a refrigerator plugged into it, so a spare refrigerator. So be cautious with that as well, because you don't want to overload that outlet, trip the refrigerator circuit, and then not know that it's off, and obviously lose food or whatever, something gets spoiled. So keep that in mind. You don't want to plug a whole lot into that same circuit. Sometimes it's better to have a separate circuit and let that refrigerator be a standalone outlet.
Great advice. All right. You spoke a minute ago before I did the sub panel, distraction. You said, hey, let's start talking about wall shelving and storage. And you spoke that like, hey, you had some pretty good ideas. I mean, I wrote some stuff down about workbenches, but what are your thoughts? And what did you do in your application to max storage like that?
Here, and here's my thing, was in the garage on the house and my shop, everything's mobile. I put everything on some type of wheels so that it can be moved to be cleaned, because garages tend to get, you know, insects and whatever, dust, dirt,
funk.
And it gets
they
up
get
under
garage funk.
Get garage funk. That's right. So I just went. I bought some 2x4s, which they were a little cheaper then, but I made a frame. I just made my own dollies and set. So I have several plastic shelves in the garage on the house, and I just mounted those inexpensive plastic shelves to these homemade dollies. And so basically I just made 2x4 frame and then put wheels on the bottom.
Yeah.
Painted them up. And I sat my shelves and I fastened them down with some L brackets, and I can roll that stuff out of the way. The same thing with workbenches and things like that. If you drop something and it rolls underneath it and you can't see it or you can't get to it, if you put locking wheels on those, you can unlock the wheels, roll the bench out from the wall, retrieve what you lost or rolled underneath there, or to be able to sweep, clean, chase a snake, whatever you got to do. There's a little experience there.
I was going to say that's not a random thought, is it?
No, oh, well. Absolutely not.
So I think that's great. It's great minds think alike. I did the same thing because I have limited space in my little shop or space in the basement, right? So I actually had to move it. The other thing that I did from a space maximization perspective is my workbench folds up. So I put hinges on it and mounted it to the wall. So that when I'm not on it, I flip it up and lock it in place. And now I've got more floor area. And my little roll around stuff, I have a little roll around, like mobile bench almost, because I can, it has a work surface on top that I can, you know, put wherever. And then my toolboxes, the stuff that's not in the drawers sits on the bottom of that. Right. And so, but again, there's just, if you just stop and think about, hey, what are my options here? We'll talk about some specific, workbenches, and I've got a couple ideas that I really like that I've seen online and stuff, but we'll talk about that also. We got to take a break, so we're going to go ahead and do that, folks. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. You can call us at 704-570-1110. We're talking shops, but we'll talk about whatever is important to you. You may have questions about the bathroom or the attic, whatever. We're happy to tackle that. Grab a cup of coffee, get ready, give us a call, 704-570-1110, and we will return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave right after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We're taking calls this morning at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Before we get deep or back into our conversation about the shop, the kind of the do's and don'ts of planning a work area workshop, let's do our Home Depot product of the week. And it really is an awesome tie-in to the conversations that we're having, right? Our product of the week this week is a specific product, but it's part of the Ryobi Link Link Modular Storage System, the Ryobi Link Modular Storage System. It's a medium-sized box. It's like $50. But what I like about it, it is that it is part of a whole system. Ryobi thinks that way. And so you've got ways to organize your stuff that goes on the wall. We're talking about that. We're talking about being able to move it. So there's devices that come on wheels, and all of them fit together. The best way I can describe it is almost like Legos, right? So they stack and they lock. So if you're moving them from point to point, you're not juggling and dropping and so on. But that's it. That's our Home Depot product of the week, the Link Medium Toolbox. I'll check it out at homedepot.com. Check out the whole system. I think it's pretty cool, and it's a perfect fit for the conversations that we're having today about your shop. All right, David, we were going to go into we were talking about everything moving around on wheels. We talked about putting the workbench hinging it so it could go up if you needed to do that. What about like the work surface itself? Is yours, you said yours is on wheels? even in the shop also?
Yes. Yes, okay. I have everything's movable to be able to clean and sweep, because just, you know, even though if you have dust collecting, I even put in a ventilation fan in the wall when I built, so that if, you know, if there's any odor or whatever, just, I mean, sometimes you just turn it on to pull the heat out. Right. But it works well. But if you're in there and you're sanding or whatever, and you can't hook it up to the vacuum cleaner, then you could turn that fan on and exhaust that out. Okay. So yeah, I put everything on wheels so that I can clean, move things. And like I said, if you drop something and it rolls underneath there, you're not laying on your belly trying to get a stick and reach underneath there and pull it out. So, it just makes it nice. And for like a workbench, you would want heavy duty wheels. You're going to spend a little bit more money on them, but get the type that at least two of the wheels will lock. And it's just, you use your foot, so you can either pick up on this or you can push down, but they'll lock that caster in place so that if you have a vise on that workbench and you're doing something, it's not moving around.
Right. Then, so did I have two that will turn in any direction and two that are linear in their direction. Did you put all four that'll rotate caster wise, or did
I did? I did.
Okay. And so I put, go what diagonally, I did was
I put the on the front of the workbench, so it's the left and the right side have at least one locking wheel.
Got it.
And that
Got
keeps it. The long bench from being able to move around.
All right. So I think your advice about building out a little frame then, because there's some, so look online. I talked about the Ryobi Link modular system. Husky has an awesome tool storage solution also, and they've got some pretty great workbenches with drawers. Mm-hmm. Barb got me the big, 6 foot one for Father's Day 1 year. It's like awesome. And David, you talked about charging your batteries. It's set up so that you can bring power through the back of it and then just have a little bank, and all your chargers can go onto that. And, mm-hmm. and so you got one place where everything's getting charged. And so I think you got to kind of know what your space is and what you can and can't do. Most of these are on wheels already if you're buying a formal, workbench.
Correct.
That's been assembled, specifically for that purpose. But I would encourage you to check it out. I also bought, this is like our local Home Depot had one that had just like a hardwood top, really nicely finished, some drawers in it. And I actually put that in another portion of the basement just for some storage, because it looks nice, but super functional. And it also has casters on it, right? So
right.
So it can move around. So check it out. There's just a lot of things there that can be done. What about access to like hanging tools and stuff like that? Actually, we're going to be close to a break here. We'll take a break and then and talk about those kinds of things. But I would be interested, David, because I think the way your mind works and how you organize things and make easy access to things, because you have to do it for a living. I would be interested in hearing or having you share kind of what you set up, what hangs stationary, permanent, was it pegboard, how's it all up there, and then what is what gets stashed or whatever. And then I do want to do a tip of the week, and I want to talk about some dust control also, because I think you mentioned some things that you did. It may or may not be an option for some folks. And there's some little devices that you can use that'll cut the dust down as well. So we're going to go ahead and take our break. You can call us, folks. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We'll take your calls, or you can go to askjohnanddave.com, click on the questions button, and send us a note that way. We'll grab your calls when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. That's the number. We're kind of nothing. We are in the lightning round here. Give us a shout. We'll talk about what's important to you from a home improvement perspective at 704-570-1110. All right, David, we wanted to catch up on I got stuck on the dust collection piece of it, and I knew there was something else we were going to talk about when we came back, and now I forgot it. Oh, I know. What was hanging on the walls, what's permanent mount, and what's easy access, and that sort of stuff.
I incorporated a pegboard on one of my tables that is mobile, my workbench, the main one. And when I move my table, I move my pegboard too.
So it goes, it's attached to the back and it all moves around.
It does. And the reason that I did that, John, was because I can put stuff on the back of it too. So
I knew we'd want to understand why you did it or what you did.
That was the reason, and so it doubles the space essentially. And if you run it all the way down to the bottom of the workbench, you get 1.5 times of the area. And so, you know, obviously it sticks off of the wall a little bit further,
right?
But you make up the space. So things that I don't use very often that are hanging. I do that, and I put a lot of clamps on that as well. So, hang my clamps, long clamps.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes good sense. All right. Can we take? Look, I made a note, and I don't know. This is storage. I don't know. I have a tip of the week. Let's talk about dust collection before we go to that, because it's not quite as relevant. Tip is not as relevant as I had planned it to be. So you spoke in your scenario of having an exhaust fan and so on. I looked online and I've not used this. I know that Rigid has like a kind of an air purifier that you can run while you're working, that, you know, draws air in, passes it through a filter, and then pushes it back out again. Those aren't inexpensive though. I was looking at a thing called a dust stopper, and it says it's a cyclonic dust separator. So it moves the air, allowing the dust to fall out, and then puts it back in circulation. Have you ever messed with that? Or do you have a better question? Might be what would you recommend if you can't put an exhaust fan in the side or what have you?
A dust collection system like that, and you could go from something as simple as a unit that some piping that just hooks to your vacuum cleaner, your shop vac, and you just put a HEPA filter in that, or a bag filter and a HEPA filter. That's the kind of shop vac that I take to customers' homes, because it doesn't let any dust out of the vacuum cleaner. But you could do that in the shop with a larger vacuum cleaner, and then you're just transferring the vacuum to different ports for different stations. So when you first start out, that's an inexpensive way to do it, because you already have the shop vac, most likely.
Right.
So you can just hook it up to your chop saw or to your table saw, to a sander with different attachments. So, you know, when I'm talking portable type tools. So that works really well, and it's a little noisier. And you can even buy a switch, John, that's a foot pedal, that you plug both of those into. And so you would turn on the vacuum and the piece of equipment at the same time with the device
at the same time. Yep. So I hadn't thought about the foot pedal piece, but have done the, solution. So when you kick them on, they both come on.
Right.
The foot pedal is just a cool convenience.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think we got about 5 minutes left, so I don't want to start like crazy new things, but we've hit on each of the pieces I felt like was important. The only thing we haven't talked about, and again, I don't know what we get done in 5 minutes, but you and I have spoken before about, you know, starter kits for tools and stuff like that. When we're talking about shops, we're way past what's a starter kit looking like. But if you were going to say, hey, when you think about maybe stationary tools or the bigger or larger tools, so you're talking like planer, table saw, drill press, those kinds of things. Where do you point people? Like I said, if you're going to get something to start your shop, what's of the larger equipment? What's the thing that probably is the most versatile that you would recommend people start with?
Table. I mean, you know, if you're woodworking, I mean, I think the table saw is probably,
that's what I'm thinking too. Yeah,
it's probably the first thing that you're going to buy, because you could do an awful lot on a table saw. And then, you know, if you're doing fine woodworking, then obviously you got to start getting into joiners and planers and
right.
things of that
right.
nature. I mean, I don't have a planer or a joiner, because I sub that stuff out to people that have that. But if you're going to do it for fun, but one day I might have that stuff in my shop when I'm not out working
just
all the time.
Just to goof off, yeah.
Right, right.
What else I didn't talk about that actually is part of that is a router and a router table, right?
Yeah.
Again,
that would be something I would throw on there.
Table saw first, though, I think.
Yeah, table saw. But you can buy a router table that you can mount your router to on the bottom. So you
exactly.
kind of have a shaper, if you will. So you can mount your bits, and then you have a rip fence and a table. So it's pretty safe. I mean, obviously you still have to practice safety, keep your fingers back and use push sticks and all of that. But, yeah, so I think those are some inexpensive things that you can do, you know, and then maybe a drill press is a nice thing, to have. And you could buy inexpensive, you know, if you're not using that thing, you know, 8 hours a day, every day, you don't need to buy the highest end product.
Exactly. It doesn't need to be a $1,500, $2,000 piece of equipment to be functional for what the folks who are listening and going to do something from what we're talking about. It doesn't have to be in of that ilk for sure. All right. I think, as I look down the list of things that we promised to talk about in the very first segment of this show, we've covered off on each of the pieces. I know we've given a cursory touch to some of these things, and some we've, you know, taken a deeper dive in. If you're listening and you've got additional questions, by all means, askjohnanddave.com. Click on the questions button. If you go out there, you can look at our tips, other tips that we've offered over the years. On just about everything. And in fact, I did pull one, David, just for fun, a tip of the week from May 19th of 2007. And here it is. This week's tip comes from Tops Off File. Don't know how we came up with that. Notice I say we, because I can blame you for part of that. I know that that's not true, but you know, sharing everything is good when you're my brother from another mother.
Right.
Have you ever gone to use some cleaning products, adhesives, or other chemicals only to find out that you couldn't remove the top? So you break out the pliers or channel locks. Then if you're like a lot of folks, you tear up the cap. So now that you've got it open, you'll never be able to close it again. Then in the trash goes the remainder of the product, unless, of course, it's a caustic product, and then you've got a hazmat situation on your hands. That's not in our tip of the week. That's just a random thought. Okay, I read a simple solution in one of my favorite publications, The Family Handyman, published by Reader's Digest. The solution is, as usual, very simple. Take some Teflon tape, the same product for plumbing, and wrap it around the threads of the container, then screw the cap on. Make sure you wrap the tape in the right direction so it doesn't peel off as you turn the cap on. The next time you go to use the cap, it will come off with ease. Mm-hmm. Thank you for visiting AskJohnDave.com. What do you think? That still works?
Yeah, it still works. And I've used Vaseline in the past for that. And the other trick that I learned was from a woman that I did work for many years. And she always would use cellophane. She would, and especially for paint cans. So she would put it over the can and then put the lid on. And what that does is it keeps the, you know, how sometimes the paint gets down in the rim. If you don't clean that out, it almost welds the lid to the can. So that helps keep the paint a little fresher, and it allows you to get the lid open. So yeah, I like that. And I think it's still relevant. It's a great tip.
I use the cellophane for if I've got a drywall mud project and it's going to be a couple weeks between, or in some cases even a couple months between uses, I'll put the cellophane down on top of the drywall mud and then seal it.
Right.
And or like my duct sealant and floor leveling, do that. I put the cellophane on top and it's a nice tight seal. All right.
Well, that's
We
great
have
for
got to,
spackling and all
but
that.
yep,
Yeah.
exactly. Just keeps the air out, keeps it nice and tight. All right, folks. I hope that this has been as informative for you as it was enjoyable for us. We love doing this. Thanks for joining us. Remember, you can go check out AskJohnAndDave.com for additional questions and get additional resources. And we love to remind you that we think the most important kind of home improvement you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. As you work on all the different projects, as you get ready for Father's Day, don't forget to work on that one. And we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.